Yeah, the great prophet, right? But somehow, when Bible introduced him, in the first time, he never indicated he is a prophet. So, are you the prophet? Are you the prophet? Am I the prophet? I'll be the prophet. So what's a prophet? What's the definition of a prophet? What is the main obligation of the prophet? Right? Let's go into the modern definition. Clearly, he supposed to be a person, definitely number one, servant of God, right? Number two, is very faithful and very good in listening. He must need to know, right, what God is really telling him. Agreed? But the key function is, how do you convert a message, right, created to serve the people? Because God is talking to him, and it is his obligation, right, to deliver the message faithfully, regardless how hard, how sweet the message is. Right? Make sense? Is that easy? Well, we have a good talk every Wednesday. You know, the Christian fellows and I sometimes say, wow, it's not really easy to preach. Or forget how to preach. Just do the ministry, right? It's really hard enough. So key is the prophets, right? This particular God-chosen people. It's really not easy. So when you're going on, you know. So now, the first assignment. Go! Go where? Go to the palace, right? Why? Talk to the king. Why? Because this king, right, is not faithful. He forgot why he can be a king. His obligation is leading his people follow Mosaic covenant, worship no other God besides Yahweh, because the true God. But guess this king, is he leading the people in the right direction? And then God said, there will be neither dew or rain in the next few years except at my word. What's that mean? But before that, right, we need to get to the historical background, right? Why God said there will be no rain? And that's because, right, when the Israel people fall into the apostasy, the idolatry, right, and going to worship other God, exactly, God said no. And the kingdom got split to the north, had the 10 tribes, south, had 2 tribes, and there's so many political fighting there. Everybody, right, go for their own gain, their own profit. They don't unite anymore under the true leadership. And what's getting worse is that Ahab, if you look at the chapter 16, God makes a sentence and says, this king do more evil than other kings. And then in listing why. And number one is he married a daughter of a king Sidon. But that's okay, marriage doesn't matter. But the problem is he legalized the worship of the idol. His name was Baal. Legalized. That means all this prophet working for that idol, they got received the provision by the royal family. Is that good? Pretty sad, right? So now the problem coming in, right? And God, we know God, right? We always pray, oh God, be merciful. You know, God of grace. So helping us, right? Be relented. And God really relented. After that marriage, after that legalization, almost 15 years, God waiting for the repentance. But he never could come. So now is the time, right? God gonna do something here. Because your worship in the wrong direction. You're going having my people in the wrong direction. How? Pull you back. Because Mosiah commandment what then? If, then. If not, then. It is very straight and brutal at that time. So now, God, the first assignment to this servant is that you go to the palace, announce this. There will be drought for a couple of years. And what really make it tough is that God's servant is supposed to plead and intercede for the benefit of the people he's supposed to serve. And this, when the drought comes in, right? You know, agricultural world, you need rain. If you no rain, right? Everything is just collapsing. And God said, don't need to pray for rain. I make up my mind. It's a sentence. And he said, I will not pray for the rain. That's very interesting. Do you pray? Do you do your daily prayer? What are you praying about? Pray the benefit of yours? Praying for your parents, praying for your ministry, or whatever you pray, doesn't matter. Praying is really, don't have to be really informal life. God knows, when your heart is pumping, when your brain is searching, God knows, that's your brain already. Because you, not belong to you. If you truly belong to God, then all of you, heart, soul, mind, all belong to Him. And He knows everything, right? So when you're sitting here, when you're thinking, or you follow His thought, He knows. There's no pretending. And that's exactly God said, go. Make them hear the message clear. So, message got delivered. Now, coming back, God is true. So, whatever his sentence goes, as he told, I guess so. But the problem is that Ahab probably won't think it, right? It's my fault. But he probably say, wow, this is a troublemaker. This dude dared to confront me with such a severe sentence, right? And ruin the whole nation. So the first thing, after a couple of months, you know, right? After half a year, you know, right? He probably thinking about removing this troublemaker. So he probably wanted to kill him. And funny thing is, God came and said, leave. Go somewhere. Hide it. And drink. And eat. That's very interesting, right? Now, they were in the capital, Samaria. Now, God said, cross the Jordan River to somewhere near your hometown, somewhere, but not in the city. He wanted to hide in the rabbit, in a nowhere place. And he don't want him to make his own living. That's very interesting.
God meant his daily provision. He was at Lebanon. Laban. Right? And you keep reading it, right? How the late Laban deliver the woman, the victim, or the Elijah. Bread and meat, right? Once in the morning, once in the evening. So, I don't know, I guess everybody got a different department for the food, right? But how many rabbits need to bring sufficient enough food to give it all to his face? One of them? 30 of them? 50 of them? I don't know, I guess it depends on your appetite, right? But all you can imagine is you got swarming for the little girl on the beach at the same time. Take on bread! Can you imagine it? He's not bread. He is God commanding them, right? And then follow. And funnily, God commanded the king Ahab. Did king Ahab follow? No. So this is very ironic, right? Don't you agree? Sometimes human being doesn't know as a being, but as an enemy. It doesn't matter. Probably not. But the key is God's sovereignty is there. God will provide. So up to Elijah whether to believe or not. I guess he hears the message very clear, right? He did one there. Go there, right? And hide it. And that's not easy. I guess right now we did a lot of camping trips, right? We go to somewhere out of our comfortable zone, our cozy bed and surrounding, and just go camping, right? Why? We are really bored of the ordinary, comfortable life, right? Well, we're back to the nature, right? And try to cook, you know, whatever, without a microwave thing. But this is not his will. Well, at least the lonely one will. Let's keep going, right? And then the next thing coming in is more interesting. At least right now his fear somewhere within the country, right? Now God say, this drop will keep continuing. And then it's so worse, right? Even the spring of this river don't have water anymore. So it cannot be there anymore. And so it's so severe that means the whole Israelite are in a big trouble, right? So Ahab gonna really exercise, right, all his power, trying to remove this, you know, troublemaker. So God sent him out, really out of his own country, out of this particular place, right, to the foreign land. Generally, in the prophet, they don't like to leave their own country. I don't know, everybody heard about a prophet, his name was. He was sent to foreign country, right, to preach God's message. He did a bye-bye way. Probably not, right? He ran away to the opposite side of the world, right? Trying to hide him. So when God said, oh, go to the original place where the idol coming from, see them, right? Go to one of their cities and hide there. Hey, I'm going to provide you food. I already commanded a poor widow to keep your wife loving, to be a wife. I I guess he probably doubt, right, whether he hear the clean, right? He probably say, oh God, are you sure? Did I hear you right?
I don't know.
So he goes all the way, right? From the place he's staying, and all the way, right, to close to the sea line, coastline, right? And go in there instead. And now the coming a big problem, God did not really specify which widow, right? So he had to go to try it out to some extent. So he, when he reached the city gate, he probably looked at this. I don't know whether there's many candidates or not, but at least finally he can say, well, this widow probably fit the description to some extent and to start it. And I guess I jumped ahead too far. Okay. I missed the one section of the words of supposed study is that he started checking out whether this is right, whether or not. So he said, oh, I'm thirsty. Could you bring me some water? Right? And I guess he got some rejection, although Bible did not say the detail. But finally he find a little volley and really turn it on, right? Found to provide the water. And this is not easy thing. Probably right now we think it is very normal, but at that time it was not normal at all. The reason is they belong to different races. And during at that historical background, a male don't really talk to female directly, especially if they belong to a different race. And for example, like if you read the John chapter 4, when Jesus went to meet the Samaria woman, and the woman's first response, why are you talking to me, right? But this lady anyway, right, is a kind person, so she turned around and get water for the person really in need. And the Elijah did more tests. Say, oh, by the way, can you bring me a bread first along the water? And that's going to this message. And the widow just grow up. Say, as sure as your God's word, right? We only have a handful of flour and a little bit of oil, and we cook the last meal. And they are ready to what? So this famine, right, is not only applied to that region, and it also applied to the surrounding, especially, right, where the idol, the Baal, he's supposed in charge of the storm, bring down the rain, right, to make the land fertilize. So God is showing who is really in control to some extent. But the penalty, right, is really global to some extent. So now, right, God did command, say very clear, at least to the Elijah, say, I'm going to command a poor widow to supply your daily living. And now they're coming to the problem, right? The widow cannot even supply herself. I guess this is even worse than driving to some extent, right? And funny thing is that Elijah make a very strong statement. Don't be afraid. This is very interesting beginning, right? Don't be afraid. How many people are really walking in the light, fearless? Have you ever run into something you are really tremble inside your body? You don't know what's going on and what will be the future really look like. because you cannot decide current status, right? That's thorough. And when you plan for the future, there could be many options or many impossibility, difficulty around your circumstance. But I guess this one, right, is probably top of the line. You live today, and tomorrow you die. Because you knew there's no more food to keep it going. And someone, somehow, a stranger came along asking part of that last breath and tell you, don't be afraid. How will you respond to that? No. But this stranger, I see something that's very interesting, even more challenging. He said, my God, tell me, whatever you're worried right now, it's really not a worry. Because my God promised, right, if you supply me, you will know, you will live together. Along the way, right, the lady was convinced. He hear the message, and he believed it. And she really get into action. And God really blessed it. So the Bible, on the verse 16, he's saying, for the jar of the flower was not useless. And the job, the oil, you know, right, not trust, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. So this is echo back to the why we choose the God is true. God's word is true. But there is also an exchanging process, right? Who you listen to? When you doubt, after you hear it clear, correctly, and do you trust the person that will deliver the message? I don't know whether this is complicated or it's very straightforward. From the Bible standing point, right? Because it's already happened, so it recorded it literally, very precisely. But during our life, there are so many unknown, and there are so many suggestions, right? Doesn't matter, if you get online, do the web searching, right? Any topic, probably come up a thousand different pieces of information to pop up the best suggestion for you. Or you try to do a Bible search, pick up the verse, and say, maybe that's exactly fit what I need at this time. And sometimes we don't even know, bother to check who's the person who wrote this article, or what is angle. Or when we quote the Bible, we don't really understand the context. What we get it out. We don't know the background, and we just pick it out because we fit. We think this fit our need. Maybe it's going to be helpful from time to time. But I guess the problem is that when you do that, right, are you choosing the message that you want? You probably, to some extent, you're already predetermined what you want the answer be. and go searching, right? And decide them in your favor. But one thing is that, what's your motivation? Or did you ever hungry to get the answer? Or it doesn't matter. And that's exactly right. Let's say if God is go all this extent, right? Just make sure and build up the faith of the servant and the people serving him. So this is a combinational ministry, don't you agree? The God's messenger, right, also need to be served, to build up his faith. So he knows whatever he's receiving, whatever he's delivering, are truly from God. Exactly, Widow was thinking about dying, right? So now you understand how the Bible structure is so alive. But in this case, right, it's opposite of what is dead. So what is her first reaction? To the source. Judgment, complaining, right? So she went to the Elijah and said, "You, why? Why you bring the judgment? Is it something you are thinking of against me?" Well, in a pick of anguish, right, and depression, that's generally like how the God's servant, right? Face from time to time. People will forget. So how Elijah handled it? Did he argue back? "Hey, foolish woman, remember? I was the person, right, to bring the blessing to you, so keep you and your family alive till now." Did he argue back? "Now shut up." And he said, "Okay, bring the son." Right? And bring all the way up, right, to a quiet place. And what did he feel? They liked him. Heartbroken. Because he's crying out to the source. "Lord, my God, have you brought this tragedy even on this world? I'm scared in worse by causing her son to die." It's tough. Nobody say a ministry, right, when you try to be in the God's side, right, be his good master. Is an easy task. At least this is difficult, right? And then he crying out. I really don't want to get into more detail with going to the ministry and pull your hearts out. But Elijah, he really cared about this family, right? In this, he cared because he knew how hard this poor widow willing to take the step. She was not even worshiping the same God in the beginning. But she tried to convert it, respect this servant of God, and tried to put everything aside, like just supply me. And that's possible. But anyway, after the third time, God granted the food. But maybe this is thinking, wow, this happened all the time because of thinking of the Christ resurrected. But you have to understand, this is the first time the Bible ever recalls a person revived from death. So what Elijah was thinking is never happened before. So, do you got a message clear for today? Look, your son is alive. So God preparing to be his servant. Is that easy? Why is it not? Strange way to support your ministry, or maybe not the ministry. It's a strange way, right, to keep you going for another day. Through all of me. And he's going to confirm your ministry. The job you are willing to do for the God, regardless, is a hard ministry or is an easy one. But the key message, you hear, you deliver. Only thing is that the word of God in your mouth shall be only truth from God. But sometimes look at this. Sometimes when you wait, right, and go to talk to the non-repentant heir, the king supposed to represent God, right? But he just won't return his wrongdoing. But they are rattling, right? Raven, I cannot imagine Raven going to deliver the bread to keep me living. And doing the ministry, right, in order to not pray or whatever, keep the ministry going, sometimes you have to be alone, you're going to be isolated. And God, make sure you're doing that. Make you strong. And then you go to the non-believing people, right? And God, make them supply you, right? And we are getting to get to use of that tragedy hit. The people support you, right? That's the most tragedy of our life. Are you hearing the message here? Correct. It's not easy. But one thing is that just we believe God is true. His word is true. Everybody here, you are his beloved children. You are his living witness. It doesn't matter how you apply it. You've got commission. So that's why we need to read his word. And when the difficulty and challenging come, hold your breath to some extent. But make sure your heart is here full of the mercy and compassion to those people you're serving, or they are serving him back in the same time. Because God confirmed the ministry in the both direction. You are not only the person to deliver the help. It's the person you are helping, right? As a matter of fact, is really sustaining your ministry. So you have to have the passion, have the empathy, and really try to depend on God. So this is a message. And we're going to get into the next episode in the next week. So today's message that can you hear? What are you hearing? When you hear it, how well are you going to deliver it? Will you really make a stand for him? No matter how. Well, you're going to serve those people who really deliver the God's message truthfully? Will you support their ministry? And these are all decisions we need to face daily. That's fine. Dear Father in heaven, we do know you are true. We do know you love us. We do know you talk to us through the Holy Spirit, right, daily. And we know that because we are here. We are here to worship you. From the worship team, to the AV, to the MC, to the usher, to all the people attending here, we are your children, the beloved ones. Through today's message, we really plead you let us have a really good hearing. We hear nothing but your word. We decide your word with a divine wisdom and understanding. And we're going to digest those messages and turning them become the our daily power to work for you, which you set beforehand we should do with you. Let us really glad, even the situation gets tough. Even our ministry doesn't really blossom as we intended. We are humble. Everything is in your hand. You are in the heaven and with us control all this thing. We are just your humble servant. Encourage us and sustain us as the way how you build the Elijah up. Pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Nick. Thank you, Brother Matthew. First of the three series.